Exodus 32, verses 7 to 10. The Golden Calf. Well, we've looked at the Golden Calf on several occasions now. I've tried to emphasize the part played by the people, by Aaron, their idolatry, the consequences of it all. I've tried to speak of these solemn matters, but nothing has matched so far the solemnity of this discourse. The Golden Calf. The Lord. The Lord steps in. Let me read the verses. They're extremely solemn. Then the Lord said to Moses. Remember, Moses is on the top of Sinai with the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, go down, because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them, and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it, and sacrificed to it, and have said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. I have seen these people, the Lord said to Moses, and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone, so that my anger may burn against them, and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation. Exodus 32, verses 7 to 10. Israel in the valley has committed folly. They have rebelled. Let's call a spade. They have sinned against the Lord. And the Lord steps in. And he speaks to Moses. And he makes it abundantly plain to Moses that God himself knows what's going on in the valley. He has heard what they have done. I have seen what they have done. I know what they're doing. I know about it, and I care about it. Care about it. What an inadequate word. He is angry with them, so much so that he expresses the desire to annihilate them, destroy them. I believe he is speaking as a man here. This is not a statement of his eternal decree, because he did not, in fact, at this time, destroy Israel. I think, speaking as a man, he is letting Moses know, and us know, the utter detestation he has of this gross carnality in Israel, even as they are receiving the law through Moses on the top of Sinai. Look how God speaks of Israel. Your people, not my people, your people. You brought them up. It's nothing to do with me. He's speaking as a man. He's standing back from them. He's divorcing himself from them. He's separating himself from them. These are your people. Look what they've done. They're not my people. You're responsible, as it were. These are not my people anymore. These people have separated themselves from me, and their sins have separated them from me. They are no longer my people. They have rejected me, and therefore I have rejected them. I cannot look upon their iniquity with impunity. God cannot regard sin with complacency. He is not content to let his people sin and go unheard and unnoticed and unremarked upon. God sees what's going on in their hearts. He knows what's going on in their lives. He knows what they're saying, what they're feeling, what they're doing. And he is willing to destroy them and start again with Moses. Now leave me alone. You see, he's speaking as a man. Verse 10. Now leave me alone. As though Moses is clinging to his arms and holding him back. Stand aside and let me destroy them. What a warning is this passage. What a challenge. What a call for repentance and reformation. That's what it's about. God, through Moses, is going to warn this people, challenge this people, call them to repentance, call them to reformation, and do so. Do it now. This is what God is saying through Moses to Israel. This is what's going to happen. It is, I say, a very solemn aspect of the golden calf. The Lord is a witness to it. So far it seems that he's been silent. He's seen nothing and heard nothing. They're getting away with it. They're enjoying themselves down in the valley. But God sees them. As Hagar said, "Thou, God, seest me." Now what should we make of this? Well, this is Israel, of course. This is in the Old Covenant. But this is idolatry making calves. But this has nothing to do with us. Yes, it's everything to do with us, my friend. I speak to those of us, first of all, who are brothers and sisters in Christ. This is a warning to us. It's a warning to me, my brother, my sister, in my own personal life, in the church life. Are you leaders of the churches? Are you listening? You members of the churches, are you listening to this? You brothers and sisters in Christ, are you listening to it? I'm preaching it. Am I listening to it? Each of us must face up to it. Well, this doesn't happen today, doesn't it? Read Revelation 2 and 3 again, then, and see the churches of Asia. The seven churches of Asia, where are they? Christ warns them, "Repent, or I will take away the candlestick." Well, the candlestick has been removed in every case. Why? Because they did not repent. "I will come quickly and judge you." Read Revelation 2 and 3. Where are the churches of Rome and Ephesus and Philippi? Where are the Galatian churches today? Apostolic churches, apostolic gospel, apostolic teaching, where are they today? The Western churches need to hear this. I can't speak for the Eastern churches, Asia, I don't know, and African churches. I'm not cognizant so clearly with these churches. But what I know, and I only know the small part I know, but what I know in the West, nothing can be more relevant to us. We need to repent, brothers and sisters. Frivolity, fun, pleasure, all done, all this activity in the name of the Lord. Remember, we've seen all that with Israel. This is a festival to the Lord. We're enjoying ourselves. We're having fun. We're committing idolatry. We're going our own way. We're copying the world. We're doing what we want. We're going back to Egypt. And yet it's all in the name of God. I see it relevant to us. Are you listening, elders? Are you listening, members? Are you listening, believers? Am I listening? You may say, "Well, you're a lone voice, you're an oddity, no longer going to listen." Well, so be it. You're in the wilderness, a lone voice in the wilderness, whistling in the dark. Get on with it and leave you alone. Well, do so. I speak this from my heart. I see it in the Word of God. This is not just historical interest. This is right bang up to date. We need to heed these words. If we do not repent and reform of our fun, frivolity, and pleasure in the name of God, and get back to the gospel, get back to the freedom of the Spirit in the gospel, get back to Scripture, and do so quickly, I believe we shall see a terrible apostasy and a consequent judgment of God. Indeed, in my own estimation, what I know of the churches, I can see evidence of the judgment of God already beginning. But you see, it's not just the believer that needs to hear this. You, unbeliever, if you're still listening to me, you need to hear it. There's one text I want to fix on your mind and in your heart, if I can, by the Spirit, before I leave this discourse today. It's 1 Peter 4, verse 17. If judgment begins at the house of God, at the family of God, with believers, if it began with Israel, if it's going to come upon, and has come upon, churches in the name of Christ, and it's coming today, I believe, upon churches in the West at least, if judgment begins at the house of God, 1 Peter 4, verse 17, where shall the ungodly, where will you, and the sinner, where will you appear? What do you think of this text? They are a stiff-necked people. You refuse to repent. Now leave me alone, so that my anger may burn against them, and that I may destroy them. Do you want to be destroyed by God? Do you want to feel his anger? Do you want to feel his eternal wrath upon you? Is that what you really want? Is this your decided opinion and your settled position? If not, my friend, if you don't want to see this, and who would want that, then repent and return to the Lord our God now. Churches need to repent. Churches need to reform, according to the Scripture. You need to repent and return to God, come to Him, crying out for mercy through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the only place you will find mercy, in the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. Flee to Him now. Flee from the wrath to come. That is my word to you. I have seen these people. I will destroy them. Is that what you want? Oh, I hope this solemn word will come over to us, the golden calf, the Lord. He is not an absent God, an absentee God. He is not an ignorant God, a powerless God. He's not just standing by, letting it go on. My brothers and sisters, all my hearers, unbeliever as well, will you heed these words? I want to. Let us return unto the Lord our God, that He may have mercy upon us.